Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave up his life for us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Ash Wednesday is taken from John chapter 18. We'll read verses 4 through 8. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Did anyone else find it hard to know what to say to people today? Did you say Happy Valentine's Day? Or were you like me, conflicted over whether or not you should try and acknowledge the fact that it's Ash Wednesday? But you really don't feel like Happy Ash Wednesday is all that appropriate, right? We don't think of Ash Wednesday as being a very happy day. A day of repentance, yes. A day of commemorating Jesus' journey toward the cross and the suffering he went through there, yes. But happy? Doesn't seem to fit. Thankfully, there is another word associated with Valentine's Day that's much more fitting for Ash Wednesday. Love. Yes, that may not be the first word that comes to mind when we think about Lent, but love is what Lent is truly all about. As we begin our Lenten series on this Ash Wednesday, we'll be looking at some of the powerful words that Jesus spoke in his powerful passion, or words that people associated with Jesus' passion spoke as well. And tonight we'll be looking at three important words from Jesus from our text. No, not "I love you," but important words nonetheless. Words that definitely showed Jesus' love for us. "I am he." It was Maundy Thursday night when the events of our text took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And John sets the scene for our verses of our text in the three verses before our text. And he writes this. He says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons." So Jesus asked this detachment of troops, which could have numbered as many as 600 men, he says, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answer him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Those words don't seem all that powerful. Jesus was simply acknowledging who he was. But look at what the effect was on this detachment of troops. "Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." Remember, this is a group of armed soldiers. And remember again, this could have been as many as 600 men. And they're coming upon this unarmed man, this unassuming rabbi/carpenter, and yet Jesus' words, "I am he," knock these men to the ground. Jesus gave them a glimpse of his power as true God and was sending a very clear message by his words that these men were not going to come and take him if it wasn't for his own will. He was going to come on his own accord and his own will, or he wasn't going at all. In fact, it's entirely possible that the reason Jesus asked them a second time, "Whom are you seeking?" was to show and to make the point that he was coming of his own will, of his own volition. Because when he answers, "I am he," again, he does not knock them down. He willingly turns himself in and asks for the release of his disciples. He says, "Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." These words of Jesus, "I am he," are not just powerful because they knock these tough soldiers to the ground. They're powerful words because of what Jesus accepted upon himself by saying them. John reminds us in the first verse of our text that Jesus knew all the things that would come upon him. And knowing all the things that would come upon him, he went forward. Jesus knew why the soldiers were there. Jesus knew Judas had betrayed him. He knew what would happen if he turned himself in to this mob. He saw the mocking, the humiliation, and the suffering. He saw the whippings and beatings. He saw the agony and death of the cross and the God-forsakenness of hell that would happen to him there. He knew all that would need to be done to save all of mankind. He saw the horrible things he would need to go through alone. He also had every right and had all the power as true God to get himself out of this situation, to completely skip it altogether. And he demonstrated it by knocking down these soldiers with his mere words. After all, he was innocent. Mankind was guilty. We deserve the punishment and the shame. He did not. But John tells us that Jesus went forward. He willingly accepted all the things that he would have to suffer in order to save the human race that he loved so much. He went forward and said, "I am he. I am Jesus of Nazareth." And he said this so that he could prove all the other times that he said, "I am," during his life and ministry. Times when he said, I am the good shepherd who gives up his life for the sheep. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or in one instance in particular where Jesus just simply said, "I am." That may have been one of the most significant because by saying that, he was acknowledging that he was Jehovah, true God. Jehovah means, "I am." "I am he, and I willingly give up everything to save my creation." So Jesus' words and actions are a great reminder of what love really is. Love is more than a feeling. It's more than just words. Love can include all these things, but real love is, well, it's real. It's gritty. It's messy. It's not afraid to get its hands dirty. Love can be hard. It can hurt, and we can suffer for it. Love is an action. It is an act of the will. That is the type of love Jesus has for us. The type of love that is defined by the Greek word agape and described for us by God himself in 1 Corinthians 13. A selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love that loves the unlovable and the undeserving and is willing to give up everything for the sake of others without any thought of reward or even any thought of getting love in return. Love loves just because it is love. Jesus loves because he is love. I am he. Jesus didn't try to run or hide from the monumental task that was before him. He loved us too much. He willingly went forward and met his battle with sin, with hell, and death itself head on. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy that was set before Jesus would also be our joy. His death gives us eternal life. His blood washes us clean of every sin. His resurrection gives us new life and the sureness of eternal life with him in heaven. There we will live and reign with him in glory forever. There Jesus will identify himself as I am one more time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Thanks be to God that Jesus is who he is, and that he loves how he loves. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.